is going to.
So our message for all ages today, I'm going to need some audience participation with. And again, this is for anybody ages 0 to 200. So I'm going to need a hand. I have two gifts that we wrapped this morning. Logan helped me wrap these. We use a lot of bags in my house because it's very easy to wrap. And I need somebody to help me open each of these gifts. Yes, Marissa. Okay, Marissa, would you like gold gift or ornament gift? Gold gift, okay. So I'm going to need you to open it, take the paper out. There's something really cool in there.
Okay.
And I need you to show everybody when we get in there.
Okay.
Oh my God, this is so exciting.
It's empty.
It's not supposed to be empty.
Well, it is.
Okay, try the other one.
Okay. I was still excited.
Okay. We're going to try this again. Shoot, okay. Okay, this one definitely has something in there. What's in the bottom there?
Cardboard.
Okay, we forgot the presents. Nobody panic. Stop panicking. Marissa, calm down. Okay, we forgot the presents. I was supposed to bring presents today, and I have no presents.
I forgive you.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, whew. For one thing, Marissa forgives me, so I think we'll be okay. What can we give someone that's not in that bag right now? I got to go somewhere after this, and I need to take these, and I need to give somebody a present. Could I think of something to put in my empty present that would make it a full present that I could give them, that I don't have to buy, that I don't have to spend money on, but that they might care about? Ooh, say that to the mic.
A poem.
I could write something. I love that, Marissa. Any other ideas? What could I do for someone as a gift that wouldn't cost me any money that could fill my bag? Liz.
Offer them a gift of your time, a special favor.
I love when people do favors for me. If anybody would like to do a favor for me, I would take that in a heartbeat. What else could we offer somebody to fill up our bag that's not something that we have to buy? Ooh.
Homemade crafts.
Uh-huh. Anybody possibly have a drawer or 47 drawers in their household that have things in it you can make stuff out of? Yeah, you could use some of that that was purchased at some point in time or donated to you, but those could be used. Any other ideas? What could we do that we could give someone that wouldn't cost any money? Listening to them. Tom, yes. Do you want to say more about
that? Let them tell their story. Listen to what they have to say, what they're concerned about. What's
one of my favorite gifts when I think about the gift of time and the gift of listening is just going over to a friend's house or having them over to my house, making a meal together. You eat, you talk, you listen, you learn, and you love them. So as we think about this holiday season, it's really exciting to get full bags. It's very exciting to get blind bags in my household that you don't know what's inside them and their toys. But you can also give gifts that are really meaningful, loving gifts to the people that you want to give gifts to that are full of your time and your talents and that are full of the love and joy that you have for them. So think of some of those as you're giving gifts this season. With that on our minds, I'm going to transition mics again. In just a moment, we're going to have Nancy Heifel come up and lead our message today. Nancy is a professional science and math teacher with experience at both the high school and the junior college level. Interestingly, though, she says none of that actually qualifies her to give the talk on the season of light to everybody today. However, in 2006, she went to see a natural healer. Up to that time, she had been struggling with health issues most of her adult life. She learned that her natural healer could visually see the color aura that was encased around her body. She experienced that he knew exactly where to place his healing hands without being told. Upon asking him what he calls himself so she could tell others, he said he was a guru. And his more advanced guru was Avatar Adi Da Samraj. From that point on, she began reading.
Adidas books, listening to CDs, and attending a group that met once a month with people who were devotees of Avatar Adidas. The recordings that were made for these occasions have been shared across the globe. At that point in time, Avatar Adidas was still alive. Besides healing and improved health, these experiences have impacted Nancy's knowledge about spiritual matters. She's here today to introduce us all to what the divine avatar, Adidas Samraj, has to say about the topic of light in everybody. Nancy, come on up.
Hello. Is it working?
Yes.
Okay. I brought a picture of Adidas for you to, you know, have a visual of who I'm talking about. I'm going to be just reading most of this, and I was hoping that I would be able to just talk with you about things. I'm not that good at it yet. So here goes. The season of light in everybody, how to realize love, bliss, happiness. The title of today's talk comes from the Dhanavira Mala book written by Nami Leela Free Jones, who is the daughter of Avatar Adidas Samurai. It is a story about how the people surrounding the guru Adidas celebrated this festive time of year. And I brought a book. In fact, I can just pass it around. It's this book that his daughter wrote. It's quite colorful, and it's got lots of wonderful readings in it. You can't have this book, but I got a place where you can go in and get. Let me just pass that around. Where you can order a book like that one. Okay. Dhanavira Mala, that means the celebration of the hero of giving. And there's a big story about how Adidas would give gifts too, but that's not part of today's talk. But it's a nice story. His divine presence, Avatar Adidas, was born as Franklin Jones on November 3rd, 1939. He was born on Long Island, New York, and lived basically a normal life, except that he was different, kind of. Yeah, okay, let me go on here. I would first like to introduce my guru by reading his own description of how he is. Okay. Beloved Adidas writes about his birth. My appearance in this world is a divine avataric intervention. The purpose of my bodily human appearance here is the divine liberation of all humankind, not merely the human beings of the East or the human beings of the West, but all human beings, and indeed all beings and things altogether. I was brought up in a circumstance that outwardly had nothing to do with esotericism. Yet from my birth, I was fully awake and utterly coincident with the fullness of transcendental spiritual divine self-realization. In his autobiographies, the book, The Knee of Listening, and I brought one of those too so you can flip through it. It's quite a thick book. Even as a baby, I remember only crawling around inquisitively with the boundless feeling of joy, light, and freedom in the middle of my head that was bathed in energy, moving unobstructed in a circle, down from above, all the way down, then up, all the way up, and around again, and always shining from my heart. It was an expanded sphere of joy from the heart, and I was a radiant form, source of energy and light in the midst of a world that is entirely energy, love, bliss, and light. I was the power of reality, a direct enjoyment and communication of the one reality. I was the heart itself, who lightened the mind and all things. I was the same as everyone and everything, except that it became clear that others were apparently unaware of the thing itself. Even as a little child, I recognized it and knew it, and my life was not a matter of anything else. That awareness, that conscious enjoyment, that self-existing and self-radiant space of infinitely and inherently free being, that shine of inherent joy standing in the heart and expanding from the heart is the bright. And it is the entire source of true humor. It is reality. It is not separate from anything. From the beginning, in the early spiritual brightness of my life, I directly perceived the guiding purpose of my life to restore true humor, or the all-transcending quality of happiness that can persist or otherwise constantly come forward in the living being under all conditions, whether the condition appear to be positive or negative. This bright, this real consciousness is the perfect form and the source of the living condition of reality, and it is never undone. It is now and it is you, now and always. Every living being is arising within and as this form, which is the very form of life. In his autobiography, The Knee of Listening, the reader journeys with beloved Adi Da through the first 32 years of his life and beyond. At age 32, he began to teach formally. He was actually at a group of people around him even before that, and there are stories about people dreaming and visualizing of him and just showing up at his ashram. He didn't have to advertise, at least not the way we think of advertising. There is a definite implied meaning in the book that all of us are on this path to enlightenment, which may take many incarnations. And what you'll get from the book is that each and every one of us, at some point down the road, could be an avatar. That's the implication there. Over the years of his life, he has written a library of books
are not the body. You are not the mind. You are the mere witness of attention itself. So I'm going to go through and say a few things about each one of those, and that would be it.
Oh, sorry. You are not the one who wakes or dreams or sleeps. The argument goes like this. Each of these three common states have very little in common with each other and are always changing. Therefore, your experience, even day to day, is constantly proving the non-necessity of separate self and the non-necessity of the world of objects. You could describe what goes on in each state as its own phenomena, and in truth is non-necessary. The message is not an explanation for objects and why they are there and why you have a body and where it all is going. The message is that this is not necessary. Okay, number two. You are the actionless, formless, mere witness of the three states of waking, dreaming, and sleeping, and of all the apparent contents and experiences associated with the three common states. Think of yourself as separate, contracted, and full of problems. However, in truth and in reality itself, you are never the separate ego I. The witness consciousness is not realized in any of the common, of the three common states. The witness consciousness is always beyond and perfectly prior to the three common states. You are that which appears to be modified in the form of all conditional phenomena, but you are consciousness itself. And number three, you are not the body, or the doer of actions, or the doer of even any of the body's actions or functions. The difference between a corpse and a living person is that the living person has consciousness. And number four, you are not the mind. You are not the mind or the thinker or the doer of even any of the actions or functions of mind or body mind. Thinking is not always already happening. Whatever is causative is being inherently conditional. Reality itself is paradoxically acausal, not causing anything. Reality itself is the source in the sense that whatever arises is merely an apparent modification of reality itself. But reality itself does not make anything happen. Nothing arising has any binding force. Nothing of what arises has any ultimate necessity. The perfectly prior position is acausal, not cause, and not a state to be achieved. It is a state that is always already the case. He uses that a lot, always already the case. So what he's saying there, that's consciousness. Your consciousness is always already the case. Number five, no matter what arises, whether as or in the state of waking or of dreaming or of sleeping, you are the mere witness of attention itself. If, for instance, you put your attention on your breath, breathing in and out, and then put your attention on combing your hair, the breathing doesn't stop. It is not always already the case that your attention placed on any object is continuous. or always already the case. The you that is only consciousness is not different from anything. Attention is not consciousness. That's all I have.